I am Justice Bedu, a journalist based in Accra, Ghana. As a father of two young boys, I'm on a mission to teach them Ahanta, the language for my village in southwestern Ghana that is slowly dying. My inspiration came from the days during my master's degree in international journalism studies at the University of Cardiff in Wales. It was the first time I had been to the UK, and everything was new and different. The one thing that struck me the most was that not everyone in Britain spoke English.
The next train to depart from Platform Zero will be the 0800 Great
West. As I would learn, all announcements were made in English and then in Welsh. The indigenous language of the 3 million people who live in that part of the UK. But in my 1 year in Cardiff, I never heard anyone who actually spoke Welsh. Though across the country, there are about 800,000 to 900,000 Welsh speakers. Anyway, it got me thinking about my life back in Ghana. And it opened my eyes to the fact that global languages like English, especially American English and French, dominate so much. And there's a real urgency to preserve our own linguistic heritage.
Mumua.
Mumua.
Mouth.
You never taught us mouth. You said you would teach us, but you never taught us.
For the next hour, join me on a personal journey. This is the documentary, Tongue and Talk, Keeping Languages Alive in Africa, from the BBC World Service.
Okay, so let's do the numbers.
No,
Kwame, let's do the numbers.
The
so that you can say your age in the number. Okay?
Okay.
I gave my two boys lessons in Ahanta, the language used in my home village of Bukro in southwestern Ghana, several times a week. And today, we are learning how to count.
Miti Kwame, one.
Oku.
Great. Two.
Ame.
Three.
Asa.
Four.
Ana.
Five.
Enu.
Six.
Esa.
Seven.
Esuwa.
Eight.
Awotwe.
Nine.
Awana.
Ten.
Bunyu.
Great. Miti, once you know the basics, you know all the numbers, then it is easy to be able to talk about it with people, okay?
Okay.
Uh-huh. Miti Kwame, one.
Okun.
Two.
The boys are making progress in Ahanta. Hopefully, something will sink in over time. Africa is a continent where 2,000 to 3,000 languages are spoken, but many face extinction, with the UN reporting around 250 endangered languages altogether. This is due to globalization, urbanization, and the dominance of English and French. There are efforts to preserve many of them, but the challenges are huge. People think that learning English and French is the only way to communicate with the world more widely, and they feel pressured into giving up their indigenous mother tongue. Fewer and fewer people are talking in my native language, Ahanta. But what is the bigger picture?
All right, Justice, thank you very much. So I am Dr. Asiatu Abubakar. I'm a senior research fellow at the Institute of African Studies, University of Ghana, and I'm also the head of the language, literature, and drama section. My work has actually been on minority languages in Ghana.
It's all rather complicated. I will let Asiatu explain.
So there are sources that say we have about 69 languages. Others will say we have about 79 languages. Others will say we have about 58 languages. This is because what one considers as a dialect, another will consider as a language. So we may have a language like Kusal, for instance, and Kusal has two dialects. So if you are counting this dialect as languages, definitely your number would be higher. But if you are able to tease out the dialect from the languages, then the number of languages you may end up with would definitely be lesser than the total number that maybe one researcher may have. So that accounts for the differences in the number of languages that maybe one researcher will say and another one will say.
So 58 languages in Ghana alone. Wow. Dialects, by the way, are regional or social variations in a language.
Out of these 58 languages, you ask yourself, how many of these languages are in a way documented? Or how many of these languages are in a way recognized? How many of these languages are used for official purposes? Generally, you know that out of the 11 languages that have so far been identified as national languages or languages that we use for media, for education, take this 11 out of the 58 that we even talk about. And you realize the majority of the languages that we have in Ghana are minority languages. Some of these languages have not even received any kind of documentation.
Those 11 official languages include English, Akan, with Chi, Fanti as a dialect, Dagari, Dagbani, Dangbe, Ewe, Ga, Gonja, Kasem, Nzema, and Hausa. You'll notice that list doesn't include my native language, Ahanta.
We have languages like Dumpu, for instance. I think the last time a colleague spoke about it, we had, is it about two or three people left who speak this language? Because the language is not passed to the new generation. And with her research, she tried to sort of document this language. Latte, for instance, we still have people who speak the language, but we don't have that kind of rich documentation of this language. And even there is one other colleague who went to gather data. He collected stories and other things in this. But as we speak, we don't even have anyone who can translate or transcribe and translate this language. So all the stories that he has taken, he doesn't even understand it or know how to even go about translating and transcribing it. So we may hear that, yes, Latte is good, Latte is on the mountain, but this is a language that we need to pay critical attention to, because the very detail or what we have to sustain and maintain the language is actually not there. And there are other languages like Kunda, and then we also have other languages in like Ahanta, which are also in a way facing some kind of threat.
The land area of the Ahanta people where I come from covers about 100 kilometers between the Pura and the Ankobra, two of the largest rivers in southwestern Ghana. It's home to around 2 million people, and yet Ahanta is spoken by barely 200,000. When I was growing up, I was part of the majority of Ahanta people who never spoke our language, but both of my parents did speak.
Some of the earliest Ahanta stuff that I picked, a song we used to sing, if you went to bed and you wee-weed on the bed, all the kids would bring you out in the morning. It would mix inside a pot mud with water. And that water is used to smear your whole body to warn you to stop wooing on the bed. And whilst they did that, all the kids will be singing, it's a warning not to woo again.
Like Welsh in Wales, the Ahanta language is a language spoken in the midst of several other major languages and has suffered years under a cultural hegemony. In Ghana, English is everywhere. And now, via TV, technology, social media, and smartphones, it's American English which dominates. This American version of English is even having a pervasive impact on local African English dialects. It feels like we are all being trained to speak the same global language. I want to do what I can do to kick back against that, to at least preserve some of our heritage for future generations. After my 1 year in Wales, I went back to Ghana in 2015, got married and had two children. Two boys, Kwabena Panyini Beidou and Kwame Duku Beidou. And I vowed when we had them that I would set off on a journey to try get them to speak Ahanta.
Okay, Meti, Skampe, I want us to do the days of the week.
Why?
And so to another lesson. Today, I'm teaching Kwabena and Kwame how to say days of the week in Ahanta.
Papa, don't touch the microphone. This is part of the challenges that I face as well. Like, the attention span is very limited, especially because this is not something that is familiar to them. So every time you start and then they drifting apart, like they want to go back to games, because it's not like the everyday English that they are used to speaking in school and learning in school. So, Kwame, call my dad. Come on, step back from the microphone, I told you. Sunday, Dimana.
Bolo.
Mande kizile.
Kizile.
Mande kizile. Kwa miye kimaikufuni no. Mande kizile.
Mande kizile.
Tuesday choko.
Tuesday choko.
Wednesday mali.
Wednesday mali.
Thursday kulu.
Thursday kulu.
Friday yale.
Friday yale.
Saturday flo.
Saturday flo.
Sunday bolo.
Sunday bolo.
Sunday di mana?
Bolo.
Saturday.
Eflo.
Huh?
Eflo.
Flo.
Flo.
Not floor. It's not floor. It's not floor like you walk on. Flo. It's flo. Different. This flo. Is a hunter, not English.
Flo.
Saturday flo.
Saturday flo.
Friday yale.
Friday, yeah.
I thought I need to start the boys learning Ahanta early. It needs to become a natural part of who they are. But even with homeschooled lessons several times a week, it's tough. That American English I was mentioning is everywhere. And these kids' lives are now so intertwined with technology and the activities around it.
And in Ghana, it's not common for children to learn local languages. English is the order of the day. So a lot of the children are not even, they aren't given that consciousness at the age where Kwabena and Kwame are at the moment. So they don't even have that those conversations at all. But part of the things that I do to also get them closer to the language is to take them back to our hometown quite often. My wife and I, we come from the same place. So we, every Christmas, every vacation, we are almost always home. And what that does or helps them to do is to get them close to people who are speaking the language. Unfortunately, even in those places where you would expect that children would be speaking Ahanta, a lot of children don't, because their parents don't speak to them in Ahanta at all. So they are either speaking a bigger, a more popular Ghanaian language, either which is called Fanti or Chi to them, or they speak in English. So yeah, I mean, when they get to go to our hometown, they then are able to sometimes find kids who speak Ahanta. The problem with that is that it's not easy, because the children sometimes feel that because these kids have come from the bigger city, they are supposed to show them that they too can speak English. So even when these kids are trying to get them to not speak English and then speak Ahanta, it's not possible, because they feel Ahanta is a small language. They need to show them that they can speak English. Oh, Papa Kwame. Kwame. No, guys.
Banana
yanda kebekebe, sir.
Kohu.
Great. That's a smart one. Kohu.
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 Bye-bye.
So we've all learned how to say banana in Ahanta. Banana in Ahanta is kohu. Kohu.
So I've just come to the studios of Radio Ahanta. I'm here to meet Mr. Nyako, who is one of the people who initiated this community local radio.
The western region of Ghana has close to 100 radio stations. Sekendi Takoradi, the regional capital alone, which is also Ahanta, has around 40 radio stations. None of them transmits in Ahanta. But in the past few years, things have changed in one part of the region.
88.9. Radio Ahanta, 88.9.
Radio Ahanta began broadcasting back in 2015 in an effort to encourage people to speak the indigenous language. It is run from a makeshift space in Aguna Nkwanta, the capital of the Ahanta West municipality.
That's the transmitter, the sound that I'm hearing now.
So the transmitter is actually on the veranda of the Agri Department facility.
I'm being shown around the station, which was built by a group of dedicated people led by Michael Nyaku. The radio station is small, but it's making a big impact.
And so you enter the studio this way. Yeah, you can see the space. You can only take the host and three panelists. The rest, if they have to be here, they have to stand behind
because there's no space to put a chair. And this is how our story has begun. This, I can tell you, is a big edifice for the people of Ahanta.
To explain more about Ahanta and what it means to the people, I sat down with its founder, Michael Nyako.
Tell me why the status of the Ahanta language is so dear to your heart.
The language is actually my passion. Not just a passion, but it's my life. Because I am an Ahanta, born and bred as a Ahanta. I have a language to speak, and I believe that my language defines me, who I am. There's nothing more that is more unique about me than my language.
Which sort of people speak the language?
Yeah, the Ahanta language is spoken by the people of Ahanta. It's a big kingdom that has even battled with the European empires when they were in Ghana, then Gold Coast. For thousands of years, we've been staying on this land. Ahanta must have a space on the globe.
Why did you start with your Ahanta?
When I was in secondary school, on my own land, I wasn't permitted to speak my language, and I felt marginalized. And so you hear the Fante popular, the Gan is more popular, the Chi major language is spoken in my school. And in fact, when you speak that language, people will laugh at you. So I look at myself, am I not as human as the other people? But I couldn't find anything wrong with me. That means there's something out there to fight for. That is to also defend ourselves and making sure that our language is also respected, especially on our own land.
Radio Ahanta 88.9.
0200-638-862. 0200-638-862.
Mama Nana. Imagine 25 radio stations right within your own district, and none of them is speaking your language, including the government on radio. And so it was an opportunity.
Starting this station wasn't easy, as Michael explained.
People approached us to come and invest in that radio. But they came with their own motive, that if they come and invest in that radio, they will speak the language of their choice. That means we have lost the essence of setting up our own radio. So we declined all those options. So we went to the street, raising funds, and you could see an old woman who cannot even afford one square meal. I was ready to donate money. We were able to raise enough funds within a matter of a month, had our own transmitter, had our own antenna, studio equipment, and then we started from there.
All paid for by the people?
Paid for by the people 100%. In fact, after one of the community fundraising, when a woman had given 10 Ghana cedis, I learned that she could not even get money to buy food the next day. She was eager to pay that money for the setting up of a radio that can speak her own language.
I want you to take me back to the very first day that Radio Ahanta went on air and you heard the presenter speak Ahanta on the radio.
That is the day that I say dream fulfilled. And just as the people heard their language spoken on radio, I don't know how to describe it. People were jumping up and down that is it possible Ahanta can be spoken on radio? And what I discovered was that people thought that language, the device, the equipment, the transmitter, the console that picks voice and transmit was not designed to pick Ahanta language. Because the question that were asking me, is it possible to speak Ahanta on radio? Is it possible? It's Fante and other language that can be. Can the device pick a hunter? Someone asked me, can the device pick a hunter? I said, wow. So that is the story behind us. Yeah, it's possible. We can hear our radio speak a hunter to us. And believe in me, it has really protected our language.
88.9. The radio station has played its role in local peacekeeping too.
The community had two factions. And so there was some conflict out there. I must be frank with you. Speaking their language on air alone was able to unite that community, and that conflict is no more.
Ghana is a heavily religious nation with around 70% of the people being Christian. Today, I am worshipping at the Wesley Methodist Church in Agunankwanta.
Come on, back. Initially, there was an old lady who used to read the Ahanta. But I saw that a time will come that woman will go away, so I have to start. That is how I started reading it. So the young people were not willing to read it, and they find it so difficult. And most of them too.
2 years ago, Alex, unhappy that the Ahanta language wasn't spoken in the church, he started an initiative to read the Bible in the language.
Initially, there was an old lady who used to read the Ahanta. But I saw that a time will come that woman will go away, so I have to start taking it from the old lady. So at first, we were not having people who were willing to read the language. Yeah, they were not willing to read it because it's very difficult. So me, myself, when I started reading it, I wasn't having the alphabet. So I have to read the English version, then I'll later translate it. That is how I started reading it. So the young people were not willing to read it, and they find it so difficult. And most of them too, their parents are not teaching them the language at home, so they don't find it attractive enough to go out there and read it.
How did it make you feel that every time you went to the church, you didn't get to hear your mother tongue?
I felt like we're losing a great culture because Everton will be saying in either English or in Fancy, and we were in Ahanta land. So at least some of our language should be said at church.
As a young person, sharing your videos, how does all of that make you feel and the work that you're doing?
Oh, I feel so happy. I feel great. Young people, we've all come together that we want to learn the language. Some of them don't know how to read it, and I'm helping them to start reading it. And others too, they already know how to read it, but they need some one or two things that will add up so that they will become perfect. So we already started doing something about that, and I think with time it will come to the limelight. And I wish to encourage each and every one there who has the love to read the Bible to come out and do it so that we all project our language to the world.
You are listening to Tongue and Talk, the documentary with me, Justice Beidou, from the BBC World Service.
Mouth. Mumua.
Mumua. You never taught us. You never taught us mouth. You said you taught teach us, but you never taught us.
Back home, me and my two boys are embarking on another lesson. This time, it's saying parts of the human body in Ahanta.
Mau.
Mau. Neck.
Mau. Mau is nose. Which one is wazo?
Yes.
Which one is mai?
Eyes.
Which one is mumua?
Mouth.
Good.
Now neck.
Neck. Moho.
Moho. Hands.
Hands. Misa.
Misa.
Misa. Kwame. Kan bo namdi.
Misa.
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 Misa. Stomach.
Stomach. Mimi.
Mimi.
Your legs. Major.
Major.
The language is so sometimes tough that even me, there are parts that I struggle to remember, and I need to call either my mom or like an older person to. So like, for example, now I'm trying to figure out the Ahanta name for feet, and I don't remember. I don't remember. So let's go through them again. Yes, mazo.
In other parts of Africa, efforts to revive endangered languages are in full swing. The Yaku community in Laikipia in Kenya is leading a unique project, tagging trees with both English and Yakunte words to help children learn their ancestral tongue. With over 500 languages, many at risk, Nigeria faces a huge challenge in preserving its linguistic diversity. Efforts include the National Institute for Cultural Orientation promoting indigenous languages through education and cultural events. Schools are teaching languages like Igbo, Yoruba, Efik, Gwandara, and Idoma. And in the village of Ubang, southern Nigeria, an intriguing linguistic phenomenon exists where men and women speak entirely different languages, yet understand each other perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, female language is called Iri. Yam in man language is called Kitong.
Boys speak the female language, but transition to the male language by the age of 10.
If you are a man and you are speaking female's language, they will address you as a normal child. And a female child who is speaking a man's language, they will not address that female child as an abnormal child.
The unique tradition, however, is at risk of dying out due to younger generations moving away and the growing influence of English. And in South Africa, Katrina Esau, affectionately known as Uwama Gilmaid, is one of the last fluent speakers of the critically endangered Ndlu language. The Ndlu language is a beautiful remnant of South Africa's rich heritage, faces extinction with only a few speakers remaining. Katrina tirelessly works to save Ndlu by teaching it to local children, ensuring the language and its cultural significance are not forgotten. Her efforts and passion provide a beacon of hope for the preservation of indigenous languages worldwide.
I am Dr. Asiatu Abubakar at the University of Ghana. So languages keep dying, and Africa alone has about 30% of the world's languages. It's not just the mere words that we spew out. Language is identity. Language is culture. Language is people. So as soon as the language gets extinct, it means we have a whole generation, a whole culture, a whole identity that we've equally lost. And losing a language, to me, it is more like losing an entire generation. These languages that we speak, in fact, have a lot to contribute to discussions on developing theories and concepts for languages generally or cross-linguistically. People may develop theories, but without data from languages that we speak, let's say in Africa or in that small community, and you realize that that language that you speak in that small community that has been neglected may have some kind of characteristics, some grammatical concept that actually defeats a particular theory that is propounded by someone maybe in the Europe or in the America.
I've driven for about 6 hours. I've just come to this town, Domabing. It's about 300 kilometers out of Accra. Orabo.
Yes.
Please, how are you?
I'm fine.
You are welcome. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
My name is Justice. I didn't even ask of your name.
I am Wisdom Soriki.
Okay.
Soriki.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, what's the plan? Do we park here and go straight or?
Yes. Your car cannot afford our road.
Okay. All right. So I'll just park and then I'll hop onto your bike.
Okay.
Thank you. So we're just at Kunda Junction now. We're now heading to Kunda. Okay.
I am on my way to Kunda, a small town on Ghana's eastern border with Togo. This town is one of the places where one of Ghana's most vulnerable indigenous languages is spoken. The language is called Animere. The people of Kunda are part of a larger group known as the Gwan people. They are the aborigines of Ghana, and their language is slowly disappearing. It is crucial to preserve this linguistic heritage before it vanishes entirely.
So I'm trying to walk through the community.
Yeah. Why? Nancy! Be.
So be is come. Be in Anumere language means come.
Apare.
Are you trying to speak Anumere?
Yes, it's the language.
Okay.
It's the language.
And do you know about the Anumere language?
Some.
So when you were growing up, did you hear your parents speaking Anumere?
Yes.
Which ones do you know?
How to greet in the afternoon. Greetings.
Tell me about the greetings.
In the morning, in the afternoon, you say, Adu, Adumbwa, Akpale, Nkpale, In the evening, you say, Base, and the person will respond, Balo,
And that's it. That's all you know.
Yes.
It's the peak of the farming season now, and the time has just gone past lunchtime. Many people from here are already on the farm. So you said, good morning is what?
Adu.
Adu. Mm. And if someone said adu to me, how would I respond?
Adu moa.
Adu moa.
And Apare, how are you?
How are you?
Apare.
Right. And if I wanted to say, I'm fine.
Apare.
I would say apare. Okay.
You say, we are not to fear. What is happening here?
Okay, what is happening here?
Yeah.
We're not to fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's up here? Mm-hmm. What's happening here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And now you won't hear anybody say that.
Yes.
These are languages that are not even taught in schools. Languages that are used only for home. And even now in our churches and in our mosques, we sort of use other languages. You go to the Zongo communities and we are speaking Hausa in our mosque. You go elsewhere and it is English that they are speaking in the church. For weddings, for funerals, we are now even not using our local languages. And all these are activities that ordinarily the local languages should be used in a way that even empowers the local language.
Animere has been spoken by the Kunda people for generations and is deeply rooted in the culture and traditions of the Guan people. It is closely related to the Kebu Aleku languages of Togo and is part of the Ghana Togo Mountain Languages Group.
So, were you born in Kunda?
Yes.
And tell me about the Animere language. Do you know that it's the language that the people from here speak originally?
Yes, but it's no more existing because the elders don't speak it for us to hear. It's only few of them.
When was the first time you heard someone speaking Animere?
They came to campus trying to teach us something small about it.
And how old were you then?
I was 14.
Okay. And it was the first time you heard the Animere language. So how do you feel that you don't understand the language from where you come from and you don't speak any of it at all?
I feel very bad. I feel that they are lost because if you get to your hometown right now and like how my grandfather was speaking it to me, I can't speak it. So I feel I'm lost.
And what do you think should be done?
I think they should emphasize this thing on it so that they will teach the upcoming students.
In Ghana, children in the first 3 years of primary school education are taught in their predominant local language before switching to English. But the focus is on 11 government-sponsored indigenous languages. These don't include Ahanta, my native language, or Animere. But there are efforts to preserve and promote other languages through cultural and educational initiatives.
The language policy in Ghana states that the child right from the lower primary or from the child up to class 3 is supposed to be taught in the local language. But you ask yourself, how many of these languages even have documentation? And how many of them even have teachers who can even teach and implement this policy? So right from the beginning, it is more like a failed thing. Even though we have a good policy, the implementation of this policy has not sort of received the needed attention, for which reason it is only the 11 selected languages that have been given that conscious attention, whilst majority of the languages have been neglected. So that is the major problem we are facing, and I think it needs critical attention and an immediate action to sort of prevent some of these deaths and then extinction of our languages.
Animere really is a language that is on its way to extinction. In my visit to Kunda, I only found 2 people who could fluently speak and understand it.
Justice, this is a language that is highly endangered. It is a moribund language. It's a language that is near extinction, if even one would say not totally that, because we classify a language as an endangered language when it has about 5 and less people who can speak the language. So for a language to have only 2 surviving speakers, this is a language that would immediately call for attention. The language that we need linguists and experts to go in and try as much as possible to document this language. If even nothing, get a word list, get to know something about the language, its speakers, and yes, the language is speaking. Try to put out something, if even a word list, a grammar, something that will represent the language.
My name is Daniel Kwaku Asante. I'm a native of this town, Kunaye. I was born at Kunaye. And I attended my primary school and I finished my middle school at Kunaye.
Daniel is in his 60s and he's witnessed a decline in the language usage over the years.
The Anumeri language is a language that other people they can speak, they hear, they can speak too. Most people still, they hear, but they can't speak.
Tell me about Konda town itself.
This is the oldest town around this area. The language was this here when our forefathers in this town.
So tell me about when you were growing up, how was it like? Was everybody speaking Anumeri here?
Not all of them.
When you were growing up, Anumeri was a popular language. Tell me about it.
Oh, they speak. When they meet, we meet like this. And as you came here, and they want to say something about you, they don't want you to hear. They will speak, they will turn the language. And they speak Anumeri language that you will not hear.
Why do you think nobody speaks Anumeri language now?
Our forefathers, most of them are gone. So the rest, they don't want to speak to their children or their grandchildren. That's why the language is now going out.
I wanted to learn some Anumeri, so I asked Daniel to teach me.
How about go? If you want to say go.
Go to... It's a language that I don't hear all of them.
So if you want to say I am hungry in your language?
Kita. Kita nkevium.
Okay.
Kita. I'm hungry, kita.
How about food? So I need food.
Food. I can't say this. It's only one that I can tell you.
You can only
like
just...
Your foot like this. Akpari, akpari.
My leg?
Yes, your leg.
My leg is akpari. Okay. So if I want to say my leg is short.
When going that, I would say, tien akpari. Look at the legs. Tien akpari. When I go to this woman and I greet her in the morning, Balo, good morning, Balo. Then she will respond, Mao, Akpare, are you well? It's the language.
So if I wanted to say good morning, I'll say Balo.
Balo. Adu.
Adu.
Adu Mua.
And how are you? If I wanted just to ask, how are you?
Akpare.
Okay. I want you to say something, and then maybe you tell me how I would have said it if I was saying it in Anumeri. So I want to say, my name is Justice Bedu, and I am a man. How would I say that in Anumeri?
I cannot say all of that.
Okay.
I cannot say all of that.
So it means you've forgotten some of it yourself?
Yes, for that. Okay. I feel very sad. I cannot speak my own language. I don't feel well.
Let me add that with my research that I do, that I go gathering folktales. And folktales, even in active languages, are also getting extinct. So you have old people who don't even remember a single line of a story that they have been told when they were children. And on field work, there are people you see who share some of these folktales. And the next time you go, you realize that this person is gone. So imagine if there is a minority language, the majority of its people, even queen mothers, don't remember folktales in these stories. And there happen to be one queen mother or one old lady who can share some of these stories. And the next time you go, this particular woman is no longer. And remember, I also said that it's not just the mere stories. It's about what the lessons in these stories carry. Indigenous approaches that we've used so far in generations past to solve problems. So if you have these people going with this thought, it is a whole lot of knowledge that we are losing.
So the battle to get my kids speaking Ahanta is relentless. Obviously, I have to work, so I have to fit the lessons in when I can.
Okay, so the words that you remember, and I know one of them is someone who likes food.
Ayela.
But you are going to eat first.
What's the other one that you remember the most?
Which one?
Which other hunter word do you remember most, Papa?
Komiu.
Ikumiu. Maria dasulu. Manyani maya mamiu. Komiu. Ikumiu. Maria dasulu. So komi is what? It's tough for them because they have to go through it. It is not studied in school at all. And when you need to learn it, you also do not have even the alphabets in the books to start with. So it's tough to even put the words together. And it's not something that they are used to. When they go to school, their friends do not understand it at all. And it looks very odd to a lot of their friends. And sometimes when they have to speak it, it is difficult. So when they come home, they love it. They love it because it's sort of one of our bonding moments. We get to spend time together going through the words and the numbers. But then it's also tough on them because apart from me, they rarely get anyone else that they can speak a hunter with.
My kids, like many in this generation of children, are obsessed with screens and video games. Ayram Teria is one of Ghana's pioneering gaming entrepreneurs. In 2016, he started Leti Art. Part of the work that they do is to collaborate with other creatives across the continent to produce a variety of games. I'm curious to know how these platforms can be used to teach the indigenous languages.
You speak the local language to them, yet they want to respond in English, though they understand what you are trying to tell them. And what I do is that I make sure that these languages are put on the screens that they are playing. So, for instance, my kids play Swift, and then they come and ask me, what is Nuplege? Nuplege is mouth and beard in Ewe, because they hit a character in the game, and then the explanation is Nuplege. So automatically they are putting that in their heads, Atamagui. So all these, they learn from the game, and then they will come and ask me, and I tell them, hey, it is Ewe, speak it, pronounce it. So something like this would be the start to actually onboard our kids to start speaking the local languages.
Why is it so important that local languages like these are built into gaming?
It gives you, one, the challenge of thinking, right, strategizing, which makes you pay more attention to a certain concept. Then it gives you the chance to also repetitively enforce that concept by playing it over and over and over again. I got to learn to drive through video games, right? I got to learn to use Google Maps through video games. And through video games, I got to learn a lot about Nordic mythology. Through animation, art, and all that, I got to learn a lot about different heritage or different traditions. So if our languages and our stories are put in these formats, why wouldn't us build or preserve our languages across generations? If languages are put in the formats that are genuinely exciting to the African youngster of the 21st century, then we are definitely making impacts that will last across generations, just like Mickey Mouse celebrating 100 years recently, and we all grew up with that.
Ayram gave me a demonstration of how things work with languages in the different apps.
It is derived from the proverb, "Ne nyona nua eya wubana de geme," which literally means it is when the mouth is full of food that some fall into the beard. So I'm very confident that this particular symbol has been played by over 60,000 people, because we have about 60,000 players monthly. So this is how we use local language to entice game players. So though most of it is in English, the symbols are in their local languages. So when they encounter them, they get to learn the symbols as it is. So let me just play a mission. So that's sweep for you. You can see the beautiful kente backgrounds, kente patterns in the backgrounds. Oops. Okay, I hit a symbol. Then it now tells me what this symbol is. This is called the bird symbol, which is a positive motif, which carries baraka. Now let's go to our next game. You can see we have Igbo, we have Ewe, we have Kiswahili, we have Wolof, Yoruba, and many more. So let me download pronouns. Starting the lesson. Yes, it's I.
May.
I went.
May apele.
I will go home.
Wo.
You.
Ekele.
You read.
Ekele atale.
You read a book.
Ele atale ekele.
You are reading a book. So I'll pause for now. So that's the Ewe version.
Etipe yakele
atale. Okay. Those are the Ewe words. And it's there. We have pronouns. We have making sentences. So let me check the tree version for pronouns. So what you heard, let's go to tree.
Me.
Me. That's me. I.
Me koye.
I went. Me koye. I went.
Me kofie.
I went home. So all those who want to read and learn Ewe and tree, you can check out the Jenny Games. It has other languages, and Jenny Games contracted us to put in the Ewe version and the Tree version. I'm now moving to the next game, which is Shokre, that has the Tigrinya language. So that Shokre is in Dutch and Tigrinya. I don't speak Dutch, I don't speak Tigrinya, but we have actually made a game in Dutch and Tigrinya. Tigrinya is an Eritrean language, and it's a language that we are concerned of it being extinct. So these are some of the work that we've been doing when it comes to local languages.
African creators like yourself have so many hurdles. You, in terms of size and in terms of impact, you are literally like a drop in the ocean.
You are right. We are just a drop in the ocean. But I believe that little drops of water definitely makes a mighty ocean. So for us, we are just consistent putting that drop every time. And by the time you realize, we will be able to flood Ghana and then flood Nigeria, flood Togo, flood everywhere. And at the right time, the sea will join in and we can flow globally.
As my journey draws to a close, it's evident that teaching our children indigenous languages like Ahanta is about preserving our heritage and identity. Each language carries the wisdom of generations and the essence of who we are. For me, teaching these boys Ahanta is ensuring they never lose sight of their roots and heritage. Through learning their indigenous language, the kids will gain a stronger sense of belonging, resilience, and appreciation of their unique cultural heritage. It's a legacy that will continue to inspire and shape future generations. You've been listening to the documentary Tongue and Talk, Keeping Languages Alive in Africa. It was produced by Ashley Bairn and me, Justice Beidou, in Ghana. The program was a Made in Manchester production for the BBC World Service.